You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all to this for giving us this opportunity to bring the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And that'll be soon changing. It'll be from Italy and from Tennessee very, very shortly. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31. The soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to come together on this beautiful October 19th. We're here in the Northeast. We're entering into fall, and the leaves are falling. And we're, again, you know, Mother, it just gives us yet another opportunity to give glory to God on the level of God, due to God, as we make our rounds, as we fill the voice. We just are so glad. I mean, I don't know another word. I mean, God is enchanted when he sees us journeying, and we're so enchanted by what he's done for us. I mean, look all around us at the beauty that reflects God's mercy, his tenderness, his love for us, and it's all around us. And of course, the world that's going against God wants to convince us that the world is an ugly place and that it's not a good place and we shouldn't be very happy here. You know, I guess when Lucifer fell, when he rejected God, I guess he went to the farthest end of the spectrum so that he can go to be, again, the greatest contrast to God. I mean, God is all good and Satan is all evil. So everything that's good in the world, if you look at it right now, everything's under attack that's good. And everything that's under attack is really directly an attack on God. The marriage, the family, the society, the environment. Yes, we're stewards of our environment, but we can't put the deer's life in a more valuable position than a child's. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's upside down. That's what Our Lady said at Fatima, and she said they'll become a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. You know, things will be, you know, really crazy. And I think that's exactly where we are right now. But hence the antidote of all the poisons, all the evils of the world, God's given us through this gift of the divine will. And you, Mother, and the sisters, to bring this gift to us.
It's a beautiful gift, you know. Yes, people are so confused now. It seems like what used to be good is now bad, and what used to be bad is now good. You know, it's the devil makes reasonable, intelligent people really stupid. They're losing their intelligence. They're
That's
losing
well
their practicality. You lose everything. I mean, when you listen to the devil and you go with the world, he's the prince of the world. And only way you can display any wisdom and intelligence is to follow Jesus. You know, because the devil really brings you down, and people don't realize that. Highly educated people becoming so stupid and so foolish, making such crazy decisions and turning everything upside down. There's no more. It's like they've lost sight of everything that's right, and they're going along with everything that's wrong now. You know, so the only way to get things right is to follow Jesus and to live in the divine will. I mean, if you follow these beautiful writings he gave you, he's going to help you. He gave us through Louisa. We're going to have more intelligence. We're going to have more wisdom. We're going to be more practical. We're going to become more constant like God is. God is constant. He doesn't go up and down, up and down, up and down. The more we become like him, the more constant we become. and the more we act with his wisdom and his attributes and his virtues.
Mother, just really quickly, but don't you also experience it? I mean, or is it just me that anger in the world today seems to be like on steroids? It seems to be accentuated, elevated. I'm looking around. I'm seeing arguments in parking lots that I've never seen before between civil people. Are people uptight? Is Satan rattling things enough where everyone's filter is off a bit?
Well, you see, we don't live in the States right now. We will be gone there, but we'll be out in the country. But here in Italy, no, I don't see that here in this little village where we don't have TV. So we don't know what's going on that much, except what people send us in emails. But we don't see that anger here in Italy. People don't get angry on the streets like they do in America and the traffic jams and all that. The Italians are very patient. You know, they have patience. So we don't really see that here, but we're not in America. I don't know what it's going to be like when we get there, you know. But I know that probably it is. There's a lot of anger politically in every aspect in America over things going on. And we have to have peace. And what did our Lord tell Louisa? When you worry, you're out of his will. He wants us to be at peace and to be resigned. That's what I was going to talk about here, being resigned to everything that happens on a day-to-day basis. I was just reading volume 3, April 16th, 1900. It says, "My daughter, the passport to enter beatitude, which the soul can possess on this earth, must be signed with 3 signatures, and these are resignation, humility, and obedience. Now, it is not sufficient to be resigned, but the soul must be convinced that the greatest good for herself and the best way to glorify me is to always do my will. Here is the necessity of the signature of humility, because humility produces this knowledge." And I think the reason why people are angry and they're being confused and they're considering what's bad, good, and what's good, bad, is because they lack humility. They're proud. They think they know better. They know better than God. They can play God. They can do things that they can't create without anything that God created. They try to have test tube babies and all these things. They try to play God because of their pride. God already made it possible to procreate. Why do they have to do it in a different way? He made it very easy. You know, why change that? He says, "Completely destroying one's will and everything which is material, obedience spiritualizes everything and like a crown places itself around them. So resignation and humility without obedience are subject to instability, but with obedience, they will be fixed and stable. Without these 3 signatures, the passport will have no value, and the soul will be rejected by the reign of beatitude and will be forced to remain in the reign of restlessness, of fears, and of dangers. And to her misfortune, she will have her own self as God, and this self will have the cortege of pride and of rebellion." So, you know, I think that man tries to play God, his pride gets to best of him. He gets more rebellious towards others. He's not happy. Man is not happy when he tries to play God. We've got a God and we're not God, you know? And so we have to realize how good God is to us and be so happy that we have a God and that he gives us everything we need. We just have to follow him and love him. And in return, he gives us everything, you know? So, but they get rebellious and they want more and more and more, and they want to acquire things by the wrong means. But this is the answer to all these painful experiences people are having in the world right now, by lack of humility and lack of resignation to the will of God in the present moment. The divine will is the answer.
Yeah. I would just like to add something to that. You know, Peter, you mentioned about how people are getting lose patience, get angry. And I think a lot of that too is that people nowadays are more moving away from God, and many people no longer know God. I mean, yes, we are a Christian country, but a lot of times we're Christian by names and we don't really know God. Saint Jerome says ignorance of the Bible is ignorance of Christ, but then ignorance of Christ is ignorance of the Creator, because Christ is the Son of the Creator. And I have a passage here I would like to share, because Jesus really talks about he is the Word, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Word incarnate. And everything that the Word says, every word we read in the Bible, every word that we read from the book of from the volumes, it's a grace. These are grace, gift given to us. And I would like to share this passage real quickly because it comes directly from what we're talking about today, why the world is acting crazy right now, just ignorance of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, daughter, I am the truth itself, and falsehood can never come from me. At the most, it is something that man does not comprehend. And I do this to show that if one does not comprehend his word well, how can he comprehend the creator and everything? You see, so if we don't understand Jesus Christ, we never can understand the eternal Father. For Jesus gives us the best example of how we are supposed to live our life. And he added here, however, the soul must correspond by putting my word into practice. So even people in the church nowadays, we can see in many, many, perhaps sadly in our priests, many bishops, perhaps, and even religious people, you know, how many of us really are more outward, external, but then interiorly, how are we living our life? How are we really giving the best example? Living in the divine will is one best way to do it. It's a hidden life. It's something that we allow Jesus to work in us. That's why divine will is very important, because this is the best way we can put it into practice, the word of Jesus. And then he says, in fact, my words are many links of grace that come out from me and are given to the creature as a gift. If she corresponds, she connects these links to the others which she has already acquired. And if she does not, she sends them back to her creator. Not only this, but I speak only when I see that the creature has the capacity to receive that gift. And corresponding to me, she acquires not only many links of grace, but also many links of divine wisdom. So this is what we're talking about. People have lost wisdom because they have lost the grace, moving away from the gift of God, moving away from, first of all, ignorance of Christ. Basically, it goes back to the Lord saying when he was crucified on the cross, talking about suffering now, because the world is really suffering much. For Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So many people nowadays do not know what they are doing. And for all of us who are acquiring this knowledge from the divine will through our studies, through our meditation, through our prayer, we are the ones that can do this for those who cannot pray themselves. Our Lady of Fatima says, many people go to hell because nobody's praying for them. And I continue here, and he said, she acquires not only many links of grace, but also many links of divine wisdom. And if I see them linked with correspondence, she disposes me to give her yet more gifts. So to whom much is given, much is expected. To whom have more will be given more, and those who have less will be whatever she has less will be taken away. That's what reminds me of scripture. And he says, but if I see that my gifts are sent back, I withdraw, keeping silent. So God is withdrawing from the world, I guess, his graces, because this is what's going on. So he's withdrawing from us many good things that he could have given us. But you know, there is hope. We have to have hope. We have to have hope for God's love, because God loves everybody no matter what. And it is our responsibility. We are missionaries. We are in the church militant. We are here to do battle, and we are here to do that. And it's just a very simple thing. And that is grace, first of all. And then we just try as best we can to live in the divine will.
Yeah, and those last few lines you just said, sister, are very important, because it reminds me of when Jesus, again, I don't have the volume in front of me, but he talks about the gifts. He says, I've been constantly showering you with gifts. He says, but a gift, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. He says, a gift is not confirmed and completed until he receives a response from us. He says, the response, you know, finalizes, completes the gift, and the gift is there to be used. He says, those gifts that fail to initiate a response are placed sort of in limbo. He talks about that halfway between heaven and earth, just waiting there. He didn't take them back. It's not returned to sender, but they're sort of placed on hold. The pause button has been placed. And he says he's waiting for those responses to come. So this, as you just read, we're being asked to step in the breach, to respond for those who did not respond, didn't want to respond, didn't know to respond, whatever the reason was. Can you imagine these billions and zillions of graces that are just waiting to fall from grace, lack of a better phrase, once the response is given? Again, God has never stopped giving us grace. We've just stopped receiving it. Wouldn't you say so, Sister Francesca?
Absolutely. I would never disagree with anything you say. as you guys were talking, I was thinking too, like, even among Christians, there's so much division. Even in the Catholic Church, there's a lot of anger and division. And I think part of that is I've been reading Matthew 5 and 6 the past couple of days, and he's basically telling the disciples and everyone there present at the Sermon on the Mount, like, your righteousness has to be greater than that of the Pharisees. Like, the Pharisees thought they knew God because they knew things about God. They thought they were righteous because of all of their external actions, but really their hearts were all distorted. And that's the beauty of the divine will. Like, we can very easily be Catholic and do all the very Catholic things and even remain in a state of grace without allowing the Lord to really purify our hearts of all of our attachments and all of our idols. And that was actually related to the passage that I was reading today in the Divine Will. It comes from January 24th, 1938, volume 35, where Jesus is basically telling Louisa, I love these passages where Louisa shows herself so real. She's basically telling the Lord, you know, how difficult her cross is, you know, her imprisonment, her state of being in bed for so many years. And this was volume 35. So she's been in bed bound for quite some years. So this is what Jesus responds to her. And I felt like it was a response also to me and to all of us, you know, in the moments of suffering, in the moments of struggle, and in the moments where we're asked to carry a cross. He tells her, "My daughter, poor daughter of mine, you are given my own destiny. When my love wants to do good, it does not hold anything back, neither sacrifices nor pains. It almost seems as if it doesn't want to hear about anything else. Its whole purpose is to bring about the good things that it wants. So certainly I had to do this. This was not a matter of some random blessing, but about a kingdom of the divine will to be established on earth. My love needed your continuous imprisonment to keep me company and to let me speak about the knowledge of my will, which is so important to me and which I felt the need to make known. You ought to know that as I speak to you about it, my love repays you and frees you from the shackles of your human will, setting you free in the realms and dominions of the kingdom of my will. All of this knowledge is directed to this end, to release the soul from her will, from her passions, and from her miseries. That is why you should thank me for what I have made you. My love will know how to repay you and will take into account every one of your breaths and every moment of your imprisonment." I just found this so powerful because it's funny how the Lord weaves everything together in your prayer life. Because I was just meditating on Matthew 6 this morning, where Jesus is talking about the Pharisees. And he's basically telling Louisa what I understood, at least for myself, is, listen, your Catholicism has to rise above the Pharisees. You know, your righteousness, your holiness, to live in the kingdom of the divine will, your heart has to be totally purified. And we can't do that ourselves. That's not an easy task, as Our Lady tells us in the Virgin Mary book. Never once living with your will is the martyrdom of martyrdoms. It's the sacrifice of sacrifices. So God in his gentleness, he's so good when he receives our desire that we want to live in his will and that we don't, and that we no longer want to live with our will. He gets to work and starts to purify us of all of our idols, of all of our attachments, of all of the ways that we're grasping at the gift rather than allowing us to let God give us the gift from his hands, from the Father's hands. That was the heart of original sin. Adam and Eve didn't trust that God wanted to fulfill them, that God wanted to give them the gift. So they went grasping at it themselves. And we do the same thing with all of our idolatry, with all of our attachments. So it's just, for me, this is a comforting little passage, you know, because it gives purpose to our sufferings. It gives purpose to our crosses. It gives purpose to our struggles and the purifications that we go through. This is the Lord trying to detach us of our human will so that we may live in the kingdom of the divine will. And the great thing is, it's not just for us. When we're doing that, when we're allowing the Lord to purify us in the divine will, we're actually allowing him to pour those graces of purification upon all mankind, you know, to speed up his kingdom, because it goes from heart to heart, from soul to soul. So I feel like the world would be a much a much different place, and there'd be a lot less anger if we just saw these crosses, these things that don't go our way, rather than respond with anger, responding with gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me where I'm attached to my human will, and thank you for detaching me of this yourself.
Yeah, and you mentioned gratitude. You know, that could just be the simple response that Jesus is waiting for. Just, you know, the thank you to the gifts, to complete that gift. Also, he mentions, I think somewhere in the volumes, that in his humanity, it's that ingratitude that pierced him so vehemently. You know, another thing, what just thinking about out loud, you know, this anger, this state of chaos that's going on right now. I mean, Jesus talks about it. He says every 2,000 years is this renewal. And then basically he says, that's why people are going crazy right now. And just think about it. I mean, this is a 2,000 year renewal. He does this. This will be his third time. Think about if you've ever been involved in a reunion. Have you ever done like a 5-year reunion or 10? I mean, there's a lot of work involved reaching out. Well, here God's doing a 2,000 year reunion. He's calling all of creation from the beginning of time. So it's a big job. And again, there is a lot of confusion. Why? Because you've got the whole world going away from God. And now God, through this renewal, is bringing everyone back. So what happens is that there's a knee-jerk reaction. The inertia, you're jerking people back. And of course, people are going to start falling down and getting dizzy and disoriented. And I guess that's what we are, where we are right now. But again, like you said, Mother, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies is here. And we have nothing to fear. Right, Sister Jacinta?
Yes, that's so true. Mm-hmm. To like accept what happens every day in our lives with peace and resignation. Well, because because the devil is jealous of us and he doesn't want us to live in the kingdom of the divine will. So he's going to find a million and one ways to distract us from the kingdom of the divine will, even if it's not an evil thing. Like, even if it's not like an evil distraction. Like, for example, if you feel inspired to like pray for someone, but in that moment, instead of praying for someone, you want to get a snack or something like that. Like, getting a snack is not an evil action, but it's like a distraction from doing God's will to pray for someone. So like, that's like an example of like giving into the human will. Or like, if you need to do a chore or something and you, but then like someone needs your help with something else at the moment and you just decide to do your own thing. So just really like just being open to the Holy Spirit, like a flower, open to the rays of the sun.
Yeah, so I think he wants to stop those euphoric moments that we only can experience and receive through God. You know, I can't explain it myself, but those times when you're doing something, you're maybe before the adoration or you're praying something and all of a sudden you get this euphoria that you can't explain it. It's different than, it's not like receiving a gift, even if it's the greatest gift that man could give to people, but it's just something that's just stunning. And I think that's what Satan is trying to just squash completely.
Yes. Go ahead, please. Yeah. So I like to read from volume 27, November 20th, 1929, how Jesus explains to us through Louisa how peace is the fragrance, the air, the breath of Jesus. So Jesus says, "My daughter, courage, do not lose peace. Peace is my fragrance, my air. It is the effect that my breath produces. So in the soul in whom there is no peace, I do not feel I am in my royal palace. I feel uncomfortable. My very divine will that is peace by nature finds itself like the sun when clouds advance against the light and prevent the sun from shining in its fullness over the earth." And then just continuing with this paragraph, Jesus tells us through Louisa that he compared a soul that's not in peace to like a rainy day where the sun of the divine will won't be able to shine its rays through, because our lack of peace are like these clouds that are are like these clouds covering the soul, that are obstructing us from receiving all the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. So it's so important to safeguard our peace, and no matter what happens around us, to always just think in our hearts, Jesus, I trust in you. I want to rest in your peace in the divine will.
Yeah, it was only a couple of weeks ago that we celebrated the feast day of Saint Sister Faustina. Again, that motto, Jesus, I trust in you, so valuable for this moment with this divine world. Hello, Sister Gemma. We've got a few minutes before break, and then we can probably pick you up on the second half.
Okay, hello. Just a want to add something of what you were talking about. I was reading the other day in a volume of the Divine Will, how God created everything for us to give us joy, to give us peace, to give us patience, to give everything. All the creation contains something. And it's there for us, for all of us to absorb absorb all the things that God created for us. But it seems like Jesus was complaining to Lisa that it seems like nobody is using, not nobody, maybe just few people is using all this good effect that the creation has for all of us. And so if we stay away, if we don't even look at the things that God created, it seems like today we are, nowadays, everyone is so busy and you just run, and you don't even appreciate, you don't even notice the beauty of a flower because we are so busy to run all day long. We are not, and so that's that flower. It's made for all of us, maybe. And if we look at that and maybe we get some, I don't know, some peace or looking at the beauty, we something there is in that flower that it's done, created for us. And so maybe we need to stop and look at the things that God created for all of us, enjoy it. And maybe there is when we can get more peace, more patience, and all the other virtues that come along with all the things of God. And also in the passage was saying that Jesus is able to also give us his person, his divinity in us. So if we only really get to know the divine will, if we really want to know this all these secrets that God created for us, so it's up to us. We have all the recipes in the world to live to have a peaceful night, a life to have a joyful life, to have a life like Jesus, like to live exactly as the family of Nazareth lived. But the problem is that we don't want to follow the recipe. We want to do our own experiments. And then the result is that we live constantly in our poor human will, and we are not happy that way.
I agree. Yeah, if you've ever seen me bake, I change ingredients, and that's why the results never come out right. Yeah, you've got to follow the recipe, and that's why Jesus gives us all the recipes in the Book of Heaven. He gives us everything we need, and he says we have everything we need. We just have to trust in him, and we have to, as he says, sometimes even give up holy things. You're listening to Radio Maria, Catholic Voice in Our Homes. I'm going to go into the break with just a short quote from Jesus found in meditation number 6 in this month of October, the month of the Rosary. Our Blessed Lord said, quote, "If you want graces and if you want miracles, go to my mother, as I will never deny her anything she asks of me." End quote. We have it all. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally. Free.
flames to burn. I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. And we're going to go back to Italy to Sister Gemma. Hello, Sister.
Hello again. I would like to read a little passage from the Book of the Passion from the fourth hour, where Luisa was basically trying to kiss Jesus, all his wounds. And one of the parts that it really stayed with me was when Luisa was kissing his eyes, and it say, Jesus, my good, I kiss your beautiful eyes. I see your loving gaze towards those who come before your presence, anxious to receive the return of their gazes of love. But how many come before you, and instead of looking at you and searching for you, look at things which distract them, and so deprive you of the pleasure you feel in the exchange of gazes of love. You cry, and as I kiss you, I feel my lips wet with your tears. My Jesus, do not cry. I want to place my eyes in yours to share in these pains with you and to cry with you. And when I was reading this hour, I was thinking of how many times I go in adoration and I get distracted looking at other things, looking at the people that come inside, or looking at all the things that are around. And and I was thinking how much pain Jesus can suffer in that moment, especially from us that we are his spouse. But from anyone, like that, when we go and the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, and we look to other things and we don't look at Jesus, and there he's there waiting for us to exchange this gaze of love, and we are distracted with maybe the most silliest things, maybe with our phone, or maybe like a sister Jacinta was saying before, let me check the phone. Maybe it's something very important. Maybe it's a message that I'm waiting for so I can pray for. No, that's a precious time that we are taking out from Jesus. That time is sacred. It's for us and Jesus, and we should spend all that time with him. Maybe sometimes we get distracted and we are not even aware, and so automatically our gaze fall in different things. But at the moment when we realize that, we should we should look at Jesus and prepare maybe for that. Or even I think in the Passion book he mentioned when we go for communion, Jesus is there gazing at us, waiting for us to be with us. And most of the people are distracted, looking maybe how the people receive communion, or how the person in front of me is dressed, or these things that they're really not important. We really have to look at Jesus and see how he's looking at us. He's probably looking at us in a way that he's there saying, look at me, look at me. I want to give you everything. And then the passage later also say how Luisa kissed his ears. And when Jesus is there waiting Jesus is waiting for us to hear all the prayers, the requests that we have. And we just maybe we just pray in a destructive way, or pray in a way that are only words and not really meaningful things that we really want to say. But sometimes we pray because of habit, or because we have to do it, but our heart is not there. So these are all moments that, of course, if you do it in a purpose way, I'm sure most of the people don't do that on purpose, but as soon as we realize this, we should go back to prayer and to be attentive and to think also that Jesus really suffers when we look at something else, or when we pray just with words. Let's think also of what he feels, because it's exactly the same as two lovers. Can you imagine if two lovers, they go to a date, and one of the two, one is speaking to the person and is looking at his eyes, and the other person keep looking at other things, at people passing by or other stuff. Can you imagine how the person can be hurted? That I don't think it's a nice thing. So Jesus is the same, exactly the same thing. So be more, we have not you, but only me and all of us, we have to be more attentive.
You know, your sharing, sister, reminds me of the reflection that Saint Hannibal de Francia gave in the hours of the Passion. It was the 8 p.m. hour. And this is what St. Hannibal said, quote, "We will let nothing enter into us that opposes him. Therefore, in everything we do, everything must serve to nourish our beloved Jesus. Our thought must feed the divine thought by thinking that Jesus is hidden in us and desires the nourishment of our thoughts," end quote. So, yeah, it's important. And again, this is a paradigm shift to some. I know it was to me. Again, God's going to wake us up, sometimes gently, sometimes more vigorously. And if he has to, he's going to either drop us off the bed or throw water on us. He's got to do something to wake us up, because he loves us that much. Wouldn't you say, Sister Elizabeth?
I would say so.
I know you would.
Yeah. Like Sister Gemma was saying, and what you said, really, it's all about focusing on God. As soon as you realize that your focus is not on him, because it's all in the will, and we can say it has no merit to, you know, it has a merit, of course, but the more merit is when you don't like feel this like warm and fuzzy feelings
that, I mean, you receive by the grace of God, and I mean, hopefully not from the enemy to distract you. But, you know, when you're feeling warm and fuzzy feelings to love God and, you know, to tell him that you love him and all. I mean, it's beautiful and you should be really grateful for that. But it has more merit, like it's more, I think, appreciative to Jesus when it is an act of will, like really completely giving oneself to him, to be fused with his will when you are not having this warm feelings, but it's completely faith, like we were saying before, like faith is God, right? And or even when you're feeling darkness, when you're not in a like beautiful place, like the state of soul, but you're still like wanting to love him with all your heart, like you're not feeling it, but desiring to give him all of yourself. I remember when Sister Gemma was saying, I remember this quote from one priest. A person was asking this priest, what is devotion? And he answered just very shortly, devotion is attachment to God. So, yeah, you shouldn't have any other attachment, but like attachment to God, you know, and always wanting to be in his will. So I have here from volume 36, August 6, 1938. It talks about, I mean, magnificence and love of our God. Like Sister Gemma was saying, he's looking in his eye. He's always looking at us and just wants our attention. And Saint Teresa of Avila said, like, all the problems in spiritual life comes because we're not actually seeing God in front of us. If we would be seeing him like in a beatific vision, of course there would be any like problem in, you know, not giving him attention, or not you know, we are not constantly aware with our senses that he's there watching at us. And so in the volumes, in the writings of Luisa Picaretta, he's like really reaching to us so much and saying how much he loves us. So Jesus telling to us through Luisa, my daughter, our love for one who lives in our divine fiat is such that it is easier for a mother to separate herself from her daughter than for us to be away from this creature. We cannot do it. Our will unites her to us and transforms her in us, making her want what we want and do what we do. As soon as she enters it, my will carries her everywhere, giving her a place in all created things, to keep her everywhere and always united, and to say, in how many ways do you love her? It is impossible to be without her. In order to do it, we would have to separate ourselves from our will, but we cannot do this either. Therefore, I give her her place in the starry heaven. Oh, how beautiful it is to keep her with me in that blue vault, in the infinite extension of heaven. No ending point can be seen. I tell her the story of our eternal love that has no beginning and can have no end, neither can it change at all. And one last sentence. Since our love never ceases, we take the creature from all sides, from above, from below, from the right and from the left, to stud her with our love. Yeah, like we are in God and we move in him and he's in us. Now I don't know which whose quote was that, but it's really, if we would only be truly aware how much he loves us and how much he's all around us and in us, in his divine will, we would die of joy. And so yeah, we can just ask our guardian angel and our friends saints to help us to be attentive, to love him, and that our faith grows always deeper. And there's like Saint Gertrude said, please Lord,
fill what lacks in my love, in my devotion, in my prayer.
Thank you, sister. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I would just like to add a little bit on what we've been talking about. You mentioned, Peter, earlier about Blessed Mother. And, you mentioned about we have received so many gifts. And the best gift next to Jesus, of course, is our Blessed Mother. And she gives us the best example. So I would like to share with you, because Sister Gemma mentioned about adoration. And, you know, how sometimes we are neglectful and we don't even think mindless about our adoration. And our Blessed Mother gives us the best example of adoration. And it's in Volume 5, December 17, 1903. So, Lord, so this is Luisa asking Jesus, Lord, what did your mother do in this most sorrowful encounter, when they were encountering, when Blessed Mother met Jesus on the cross, carrying the cross? And she says, my daughter, she did nothing but a most profound and simple act of adoration. And since the simpler the act, the more easily it unites with God. Most simple spirit, in this act, she infused herself in me and continued what I myself was doing in my interior. This was immensely pleasing to me, more than if she had done any other greater thing. So there we go. You know, I mean, I know many of us do not have time to perhaps go to our Blessed Sacrament, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, but our Blessed Mother gave us a perfect example that when we infuse our acts to the acts of Jesus, you know, whether we are before the Blessed Sacrament or whether we are at work or doing simple chores, know that all of these acts have been divinized by the Lord. His incarnation divinized our humanity. And so if we remember, when we think of the Lord doing these acts in us and we desire to infuse our acts in Him, we are adoring Him. So, yeah, you know, it does require our attention. Attentiveness is very important. But, you know, maybe sometimes we are forgetful, but, you know, the desire is there. So in all of our acts, let us call the Lord to act in us in everything we do, even at rest, sleeping, and most especially when before we are in front of Him before the Blessed Sacrament, because He's truly there. You know, it's a very good act of adoration, but we don't have to be before the Blessed Sacrament. We can adore Him 24/7.
Yeah,
right. Looking for that quote also, Mother, you know, that bodes with that. Jesus says something to the effect like, well, don't look for me outside of yourself, but rather look inside if you want to find me. And when I find the quote, I'll let you know. But go ahead, Mother. Sorry about the interruption.
It's the divine indwelling, you know, to find Jesus within yourself, to know that the Trinity dwells in your soul. I was just reading here. This is Volume 4, October 31st, 1900. The most appropriate remedy for all evils, we started talking in this program about the evils of the world, and the main thing that renders us noble, divinizes us, makes us similar to our Lord, and has the virtue of converting the very bitterness to sweetness is resignation. What was the life of Jesus upon earth, if not continuing the will of the Father? And while he was on earth, he was united with the Father in heaven. Same for a resigned soul. While living on earth, her heart and will are united with God in heaven. So if we resigned, everything that happens from moment to moment, mind over matter, we don't mind, it doesn't matter. If we have that kind of attitude, we're happy people. But we do mind things. We get upset over the stupidest little things that really don't matter today. And tomorrow, when you look back at them, they didn't make any, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. You make it so big today and make it so important. And then tomorrow you forget about it. So it's why so do we get so upset about stupid things that really don't mean anything, don't matter, you know? Goes on to say, patience is the seed of perseverance, and this seed produces branches called firmness. Well, how firm and stable is the good she has started is the patient's soul. She pays no attention either to rain or to frost or to ice or to fire, but all her attention is on bringing to completion the good she has started. And, you know, we're never satisfied. Summer comes and we're too hot. We complain about the heat. Winter comes and we complain about the cold. And so, but most of the time we're really happy with spring and fall, you know, but, we're hard to please. God gives us four seasons so we can have variety in our lives.
I just heard the Lord say amen when he said we're hard to please.
And God gives us everything, and yet we complain, and, you know, we don't like this, we don't like that, you know, and if we could accept everything in the present moment, as the hand of God, giving us a gift to either be transformed or to console us or to give us the cross so we can grow. If we accepted everything as gift from God every moment, we would be gloriously happy all the time. But we're not that way. We get upset over these different things because of our pride. We have to grow in humility. And more than humility, we have to realize our nothingness. And then we'll be really happy people.
Yes. Speaking of nothingness, as I was listening to the sisters reflect on distractions, I was kind of reflecting on my own distractions and like what feeds the distraction? Like, why do we give into distractions, especially when we're before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament or at Mass? I remember Jesus told Louisa, somebody was complaining to Louisa about their own distractions at Holy Communion. And that just like bewildered Louisa. Like, how could anyone be distracted at Holy Communion? And Jesus said, it's because they haven't given their whole hearts to me yet. And ooh, I remember when I read that, that went straight to my own heart. And I think that's kind of why we subconsciously give into distractions. I think we're afraid of what's in our own hearts. When we're not distracted by all of these external things, when we allow ourselves to just be in that quiet and be before the Lord and allow him to look at us and us look at him, I think I was thinking three things are going on, at least in my heart. Maybe somebody else out there has that same experience. One is we have this skewed image of God, so we're afraid of how he's looking at us. We don't realize that he's looking at us no matter what state we're in. He's looking at us with love, and maybe in that love, he wants to purify us. He wants to heal us, whatever it is. He wants to maybe bring to light a sinfulness in our life that, you know, he wants to rid us of. But even in those moments, he's still looking at us with incredible love. So I think it's that fear. I think the second thing is, like I was saying before, we're afraid of what's in our own hearts. When God looks at us and we look at him, we also see ourselves more clearly. And we don't like that nothingness. We don't like the misery that lies in there. And I think part of us doesn't believe that God loves us there. So we just want to keep hiding it from him. So we distract ourselves in prayer. But what he wants to do is enter into those very areas and show us, yes, I love you there. I love you there. You don't have to be perfect for me to love you. Yes, we're going to take care of all that. But I want you to know that I love you there. And then I thought the third thing too, is we can't control prayer. We like to control everything in our lives. And we like to control our prayer lives as well. And sometimes, no matter how many pious things we do, we're still dry. You know, we still don't hear the Lord's voice. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. And I think he allows that dryness to help us to realize that prayer is about him. We have to dispose ourselves and we have to put ourselves in, you know, a quiet situation in order to pray. But really, prayer is up to the Lord and he's the one that's doing it us. And I don't think we like that. At least I at times don't like that. I like to be able to control and, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this now so I can hear your voice. And sometimes he's so good. Sometimes he's like, all right, I'll tell you something, you know, I'll let you feel something. But other times he's like, you know, just be with me. Just be with, that's enough. Just your presence here. Just be with me and trust me. So I just invite everybody out there to do what I'm going to try to do, as you know, in a few minutes, we're about to go to Mass, is just not to be afraid of that silence. You know, just let go. And like he tells Louisa, let me do.
Yeah. Mother, any final thoughts? We got a few minutes.
Yeah. Volume 4, February 9th, 1903. Our Lord says, my daughter, one who loves me fixes himself before the divine center. But one who is resigned and does my divine will in everything possesses the center of the divinity within himself. We talked about the divine indwelling. We want to possess the divinity in the center of our souls, within us. He says, sufferings, crosses are like many citations which I send to souls. If the soul accepts these citations, whether they are citations that notify the soul to pay some debt, or it is a notification to obtain some gain for eternal life, if the soul responds to me by resigning herself to my will, by thanking me, by adoring my holy dispositions, we are immediately in accord, and the soul will avoid many inconveniences that are possible. So if we want to avoid inconveniences, accept God's, the present moment, accept what God is doing to your soul in the present moment. He's always with us. He's always transforming our souls. We're in the school. You know, we talk about this being the kindergarten of divine will. Well, we'll be in kindergarten probably the rest of our lives because we're always being formed. We're religious I've been a nun 45 years, growing, trying to grow in greater and greater holiness, trying to live more and more in God's divine will. So accept the present moment. That's what I can leave everyone with. Try to get to realize, think, it's a way we think. Think everything is the hand of God at the present moment for your soul to be growing in holiness. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Mother, I'd like to close with a quote that you reminded me of when you were talking about our complaints with the changing of weather. And it's so true. We really are so fickle. But I remember with the Saint Hannibal de Francia in his, I think it's in the Hours of the Passion, the 2 a.m. hour. That's it, 2 a.m. hour. This is what Saint Hannibal said, quote, "Are we ready to answer when Jesus calls us? The call from God can make itself heard in many ways, through inspirations, through the reading of good books, one's example, etc. One may also experience it tangibly through grace and even in the temperate changes of weather. My sweet Jesus, may your voice resound always in my heart. May everything that surrounds me on the inside and out be a continuous voice that calls me to love you always. May the harmony of your divine voice prevent me from hearing any other distractive human voices." End quote. The gift of the divine will, the antidote to any and all poisons, it came at the right time. God knows what he's doing, and he allowed us to be alive at this time. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mother, for your vocation. And all the sisters, this is so endearing to me, just to be part of this in a small way that I can just imagine. Oh, our time's up. I can just imagine this continuous enchantment that God feels every time we respond to what he's giving us, and he's giving us something at every moment. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Mother, God willing, see you in a week. Ciao.
God bless.
Recording stopped.